We begin the current and final Daf Masechet Nedarim, Daf Tzadi Aleph. We begin on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Mebeis, five lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara introduces the following question that will come in relation to the Halach of our Mishnah. And that is, our Mishnah spoke with three different types of women, that because of what their claim was, or what they said, they would be able to leave the marriage with their ksuba. And one of them was regarding an Eishes Kayin, as we're going to see, that's the case of the woman, who said to Me'ani Lach, she said to her husband, look, I was defiled, I was violated by another man, therefore I'm forbidden to you. But since it wasn't my fault, so I go out with a ksuba. So related to this, the Gemara says, Amar Papa. Rav Papa said that Baldik Lon Rava. Rava inspected us. He was checking to see how well we knew our learning. He asked us, Eishes Kayin Shenensa. Regarding the wife of a Kayin that was violated. So the question he asked us was, Yesh lo ksuba or Ein lo ksuba? Does she get her ksuba when she leaves the marriage, or does she not? And the question is as follows. Since essentially a wife of a kohen that's violated is the equivalent of the wife of a non-kohen who willingly engages in extramarital affair, because they both become aser. An Eishes Yisrael does not become aser when she was nenas, only when she does it beratzen, when she does it willingly with another man as a married woman. Whereas an Eishes kohen, even if it was done against her will, but she becomes aser to her husband. So the question is, do we say that ain't like ksuba, so therefore she doesn't get a ksuba, because she's the equivalent of an Eishes Yisrael, who when she is mezana doesn't get a ksuba. So to here, Oidil mo matzi amrleo, maybe no, maybe here it's different. Yes, she will become aser to her husband just like an Eishes Yisrael become aser, but it's different. An Eishes Yisrael, when she becomes aser, will not get her ksuba, because it's ultimately her fault. And even if it's not totally, but the ultimate is that it's a chesaron, it's something dysfunctional in her that happened. But here, the Eishes Kohen could tell her husband, look, anoho chazina, I'm here, I'm fit, I'm able to have relations with her husband. Now, however, as we continue on top of Tzadi Aleph and Aleph, it's v'gavruhu din nistach v'sadeyu, it's that man, meaning you, my husband, that your field has been ruined. In other words, it's specifically the sanctity of your kahuna that's causing that I can't stay married to you, as we explained in the Mishnah, where if I was married to Yisrael, the fact that I was raped by another man would not make me forbidden to the husband. So there's nothing really wrong intrinsically with me. It's with you, the fact that you're a kohen, and therefore it's your problem, and therefore now that I can't stay married to you, you have to give me the ksuba. So that was the question. Do we say that the Eishes Kohen Shenensa is like Eishes Yisrael Beratzen, and she doesn't get a ksuba, or she does get a ksuba? Because it's not her fault, it's essentially her husband's liability. And that's what our Papa says. We said to Rava, Masnitni, you could see the answer to this question from our Mishnah, where we said that originally they said, the first category was, if a woman tells her husband, look, I'm tummy to you, meaning that I had relations with another man, and as a married woman, I'm now forbidden to you. So we said that yesh la ksuba, that she gets her ksuba, in other words, she has to leave the marriage now. But she gets a ksuba. Now, on that, the question is b'maya skinan. What exactly is the case conceptualization? Ilim be'eshis Yisrael, if she's the wife of a non-kohen, well then, depends. Iberatzin, if she did it willingly with another man, or klum yesh la ksuba, does she get a ksuba? What do you mean? She's mezanda beratzin, of course she doesn't get a ksuba. It's her own fault that she's now can't stay married to her husband. And ve'iba'aynes, and if she was violated against her will, miko mitzral gavra, would she be forbidden to her husband? In other words, there's two variables to the three cases in our Mishnah, that they leave with their ksuba. A, that they can't stay married, and B, is that they get their ksuba. But here, if she would be the wife of a non-kohen, either one, there would be one variable that wouldn't work out. If she did a beratzin, she wouldn't be getting her ksuba. She would be forbidden to her husband. But if it was done ba'aynis, then she wouldn't even be forbidden to her husband. So the elah ba'eshet kohen, rather, must be told, ma, the wife of a kohen. Now, I beratzin, if she did it willingly with another man, Klom yesh l'ksuba, would she get a ksuba? Mi gar me'eshes Yisrael b'rasim, would she be any less than the wife of a non-kohen who does it willingly, who has to leave and not get her ksuba because she did it willingly? Elolav ba'aynis, rather must be talking about the wife of a kohen who had relations with another man against her will. V'ketan yesh l'ksuba, and we see that in the Mishnah Rishayna, we said that she gets her ksuba. Because as we said, because it's nistach v'sadeyu, it's the kohen's problem because he's a kohen. It's only, like we said in the Mishnah Achrayna, that we said that, no, she's not going to get a ksuba, because maybe nasne neha ba'achar. But essentially, the halacha of the Mishnah Rishayna stands that she really get is supposed to get her ksuba, again, because it's not her fault, and Anesha's Kain Shenetza gets her ksuba. Now, again, the Gemara asks another question, which again will come related a raya from our Mishnah. Iba Yiluhu did the following question. Amr Labayla, if a woman tells her husband, Gerashtani, you divorced me. Now, although I would have to normally bring a proof, yeah, I divorced you, show me the get. But the woman's claiming the get got torn up or got lost. Maha, what's the halacha? Do we believe her and let her and permit her to get married to someone else or not? Is she believed? We don't know. Maybe he divorced her, maybe not. So Amr Rav Amnuna, he says, Toshima, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Hoy meris tameani lacha. When a woman tells her husband, look, I'm forbidden to you. We can't stay married because I was violated by someone else. Now, the Afila Mishnah Achrayna, even according to the later retraction of the Chacham, Niktani lo mehemno, where they said that, no, she's not believed. Why do we say she's not believed? What do you mean? Someone violated her and she's an Eishes Kain, she's forbidden to her husband. It's because Hasam hu d'mishakra, the only reason why we said in the Mishnah Achrayna that she's not believed, I mean, the Mishnah Rishayna says she is believed. The Mishnah Achrayna that says that she's not believed because she's lying, why is she lying? The yada dabai, lala yada ba, because she knows that her husband doesn't know if she was mezana or not. So therefore she feels safe. She's not afraid of her husband, that he knows that she's lying. She'll feel safe. She'll lie. She'll say, I had relations with another man. Now that is why the Mishnah Achrayna says that we don't believe her. Because maybe nasna nebracha, maybe she really just wants to go on with another man. And she'll make this claim to her husband. She's not afraid the husband's going to say, what? Is it, what do you want from me? Someone else was ma'anas me. Now, so therefore, the Mishnah Achrayna itself was only told in the case that when are we not going to believe her? Where she feels comfortable lying, where she knows that the husband can't call her bluff because he doesn't know. But when a woman make a claim to her husband saying, you divorced me, well, the husband knows if he divorced her or not. He's not insane. He's not mad. He knows if he did or not. And that Rav Amnuna says, Mehemna, we believe her. Why? Because the chazaka ain't isha me'iza paneh b'fnei ba'ala. There's a presumptive state that a woman would not have the audacity to lie straight to her husband's face. If she's saying, look, you divorced me, we believe her, because she would not have the audacity. The only reason why we don't believe her in the case of the Mishnah is because she would lie. Why would she lie? Because the husband doesn't know what happened on her way home from work or whatever it is that happened that she was mezana or that she was nenes. He doesn't know, so she can make up the claim. She's not afraid of him. And therefore, we don't believe her because maybe she's really just make up the story. But here, she would not. How could you make up such a story? You can't have the audacity. And therefore, actually, that's what Nuna says, that we would believe her because it's a chazaka that tells us that she's saying the truth. Amle Rava. Now, that Rava responded to Rav Nuna and says, Adi Rava, to the contrary, I'll actually answer the question that we said the other way. And that is, Afila Mishnah Rishayna Diktani Mehemna. Even according to the first version, how the halacha originally was, that said when a woman tells her husband, Tameani Lacha, she tells her husband, the Kayin, that I was violated, that she's believed. And that Rava says is only Hasam Mishum Deloy Avidi Livzuya Nafsha. The reason why we believed her in the Mishnah Rishayna, meaning the Mishnah Rishayna for sure says she's not believed. And even the Mishnah Rishayna was only because she's saying something that's disgraceful and something that's degrading for her to say that she was raped. And if it wasn't true, she wouldn't have said that. So that's what Mishnah Rishayna, Rava says that she was believed. Now, Aval Hacha, the Zimna, the talk of Laman Gavra, but over here, where they were having an argument with a woman saying, you divorced me, and he's saying, what are you talking about? I never divorced you. It can happen often that a woman could be overpowering her husband because she's getting mad, she's livid, and she's losing it. And she'll have the audacity to say, what do you mean? You divorced me. So me'ezer, Rava says, of course she would have the audacity. A woman would say things like that when she gets upset, and therefore she's not going to be believed. Because even the Mishnah Rishayim that says she's believed is only because a woman wouldn't say something that's disgraceful or embarrassing for her. She wouldn't say something that's so degrading, and if she is saying it, that's why we believed in the Mishnah Rishayim. Mishnah Rishayim says we don't believe her. But even the Mishnah Rishayim is only because it's not degrading, because it's degrading. If it's not degrading, like something like you divorced me, then of course she would have the audacity. And therefore, Rava says, actually, the opposite of Rav Nuna, and he wants to prove in the Mishnah that the woman would not be believed to tell when she tells her husband that you divorced me. That's this machlekes of Rav Nuna and Rava. Masar Rav Mishashi, asks from the other halacha, the other case in the Mishnah, both to Rava and Rav Nuna, from either the Mishnah Rishon or the Mishnah Achrayin. So Moshe Ramasharshi, he first asks, he says, Hashemayim beini lebeincho de Mishnah Rishon. Regarding the next case, when the woman tells her husband, saying, look, heaven's between me and you, only Hashem knows that you're not able to conceive a child. Because when you ejaculate, you're not mazria zera, you don't produce semen that could conceive a child. So on there, the Mishnah said that the Mishnah Rishon said that she's believed, and therefore he has to let her go with a kesuba. And that, Rav Sharshi says, that's true to the Rava. That refutes Rava, because Rava said that even the Mishnah Rishon that says that she's going to be believed is only because of elements like of embarrassment. Like by the first case, when she says that Tamei Anilacha, that she was raped. Now, but Rava said, if it's not something embarrassing, like you divorced me, then of course she would have the audacity and she wouldn't be believed. But the problem is, Halcha de Les Lekisufa, here there's no embarrassment for her. It's her husband has a problem. And Bogatani, they have, and still we say that she's believed. That's not like Rava, because Rava said it's only something that's embarrassing, and here it's not embarrassing, so why do we believe her? So now the Gemara answers, no, Ksava Rava held, that's also considered something embarrassing. Why? Because Hasim over there, Kivin de Sagi lo de loy umra en yurikachet. They're not going to let her get done with the court case. She's going to bez them with this. She wants to get it. She wants to be able to leave the marriage and to get her ksuba. Now, by the end of the court case, she's going to have to clarify her words. What is she saying? And that is, Eloi Isa de Ka'amr, if it wasn't true like what she's claiming, loy umrali, she would never say this. They're going to have to, meaning she comes to the court, she says, Hashemayim benil benicha, heaven's between me and you. And the courts are going to say, what do you mean to say? We're not just letting you out of this marriage just like that. And she's going to have to get more specific and detailed and explicit. She's going to have to say that he's not Yerui Kechetz. And that is when we're intimate, he doesn't shoot like an arrow. Now, that's embarrassing. That's a very coarse thing to say. And therefore, Rava says that since it's an embarrassing thing, she would not say it unless it was true. So therefore, it does fit into the category of something embarrassing. But something like divorce, which is not, she would have the audacity, and therefore she's not believed. Now, however, Rabbi Masharsha now asks, the other way around, to the other side. The same case of a Shemayim Beini Lebencho de Mishnah Achrayna, the second version of this halacha, where the Chacham later said that when she tells her husband that heaven's between me and you, that they don't believe her and they don't let her just walk. Tavatu Yavtu Rav Amnuna, that's a refuge of Amnuna. Because Vahacha de Yadahi Ubaila Yadaba, here we're talking about a case where it's something that she knows about and her husband knows about, because the Gemara's assumption is that he also knows if he's able to conceive or not, if he shoots his seed like an arrow or not. And therefore, again, according to Rav Amnuna, it should be a chazaka that she's not me'iza, because there's something that, like he said, regarding divorce, you divorced me. Amnuna says, oh, she's believed, because she wouldn't have the audacity to tell her husband something that they both know about. It's only something that he doesn't know about. That she would lie. Like the case of Tamei Anilacha, but something that he knows about, which is exactly the same case over here, where they both know whether he's able to shoot like an arrow or not. And still the Mishnah Achrayna says that she's not believed, but why? According to Rav Nuna, even Halacha Lamaisa regarding Gerashtani, where they both know that she is believed, because she wouldn't have the audacity, so why don't you say the same thing over there by Hashemayim Beinei Lebencha, that Halacha Lamaisa should be that she is believed? So next up, Rav Nuna says, no, it fits into his categorization. Because Hachanami here also, he gufa amr, she, the woman, tells herself, Nehi debibiya yada, although he knows when we have intercourse, when we have relations, does he really know, is he as aware as I am, that he doesn't shoot like an arrow? Or if he is, meaning, therefore she would lie, because he doesn't know. What does he know about it? I know, I'm experiencing, I'm more aware of it, and therefore, Rav Nuna says that she would have the audacity, just like the case of Tamei Anilacha, where he doesn't know. Here also, she assumes that he doesn't really know, and therefore she would lie. So therefore, even if he is Yerik Echet, she'll lie and say that he's not. But something that he knows and she knows, she would not have the audacity to lie. And therefore, by Gerashtani, where she does make such a claim, we would believe her, even though, again, in this case, Hashemayim Beinei Lebencha, according to the Mishnah Achrayna, we do not believe her. Now the Gemara continues with a story that relates to the topic that we've been speaking about of our Mishnah. And that is as follows. Hahi Itza, there was a certain woman, which the Ram points out, is definitely talking about the wife of a Kohen. Because if it's the wife of a non-Kohen, then even according to her words, as we're going to see from the incident, where she thought the relations that she was having, meaning whether she's lying or not doesn't make a difference, but based on the words that she's saying, was that she thought it was her husband, then there's no greater oinus than that. If she had relations with a man and thinking it's her husband, for sure that's an oinus. And an oinus by a non-kayin is permitted to remain in the marriage. So why would Reb Nachman have to say, as we're going to see in this story, that the reason why she's permitted to stay in the marriage is because maybe she's just making it up because they know nusnam achar, if she would be permitted even based on the words herself? Because obviously she's claiming that she thought it was her husband and therefore it's a case of oinus, would be permitted anyway. So rather, let's be talking about an Ashes Kayan, who, even if it was an Inus, but any other man that she had relations with, would make her forbidden to her husband. So there was a certain woman, an Ashes Kayan, the Chol Yomid de Tashmish, whenever they had marital relations, so Makadma Mashir Yod Lagava. So then, afterwards, then she would go ahead and bring water for her husband to wash with. Now, Yomichad Asile Maya Limimsha. So one day, she brings him water and to wash his hands. So Amalah, he says, Hadam Milza, he already knows the routine. He says, Hadam Milza, this thing, meaning relations, Lahabasi, we didn't have today, why are you bringing me water? So Amalah, she said to him, what do you mean? Imkain, if that's the case, if you're saying you didn't have relations with me, so Chad Menachem, that must mean one of the non-Jews, as we continue to Amad Beis, Ahaloye, that sells from this perfume of Ahal, the Havahacha Inna that was here today, if it wasn't you that had relations with me, Dilmaminhain, maybe it was one of them. Somebody had relations with me last night. And if it wasn't you, and as you see, I'm bringing you water, and you're saying it's not you, then maybe it was one of the non-Jews. And therefore, essentially what she was saying was that I'm going to be forbidden to you. Because having relations with any other man as an Ashes Kayin makes her forbidden. So Amrav Nachman, Nachman said, as we said, the halacha in our Mishnah, which was the reason for the three women that we say that, no, they can't just walk away with these claims, with the ksuba, that ineha nasna ma'achar. This woman has her eyes on someone else. And there's no substance to her words. She's not believed. Even though, based on her testimony, there's obviously someone, not her husband, that she had relations with. She's not believed. She's just making it up because she wants to be out of this marriage. And until she brings proof, she's not believed. So to Hahi Itza, there was a certain woman. She wasn't in a good mood with her husband. So Amalah, so he said to her, Idna Maishna, what's different today? What's going on? What's bothering you? So Amalah, she said to him, look, you never pained me so much with marital relations like this last time. Now it's very painful. So Amalah, he said to her, I don't know what you're talking about. Lahavaha da milsa idna, we didn't have relations. So Amalah, she said to him, what? M. Cain, if that's the case, halin nachrim naftoyi da havahachi idna, then those non-Jews that were around the house that were selling nafta, that were here today, if it wasn't you, maybe it was one of them. And again, therefore it should be forbidden to him. So Amalu Rav Nachman, Nachman said to them, don't pay attention to her. She just wants someone else. She wants out, and she's not believed, and therefore she's permitted to her husband, the Kohen. Related to this, the Gemara brings, there was a certain man. To have a maharzik bevesa. He was secluded in the house, huva intasa, him and the married woman. All also married the basis. Then suddenly the husband comes home. Parte noyef lahutza. So this other man quickly runs away, breaks through this mechitza, this partition made out of palm fronds. I mean, like he runs through the bushes, v'arak, and he escapes. So the husband comes home, he sees this man running out of the house. So Amar Rava, Rava says, it's a sharia. The wife is permitted to her husband. Why? Im isa da avid isur, if it's true that his wife had committed adultery with this other man, irkusi hava mirkis, so then that adulterer would have hidden himself, he would have secluded himself, and he wouldn't have just ran out, and the husband seeing this guy running out, because he wouldn't have wanted that it should be revealed, this embarrassing thing that he had done. I mean, obviously he didn't do it, it's just he didn't want to be in this house with this man, so therefore he ran away. Had he actually done it, he would have secluded himself and hidden himself, and he wouldn't have just ran out. So therefore, she's permitted. Now the Gemara continues with another incident. Ahu nayif to olagaba dehi entasa. There was a certain adulterer that came to this certain married woman in her house. Now asagavra, the husband came home. Salik nayif asiv bekilei bava. So the adulterer heard the husband coming home. So he went by. He hid behind the curtain that was in front of the door. Now, Havamachton Tachle Taman, there was some crest that was laying there right next to where this guy is hiding. which is a type of edible food. But a snake had eaten, has poison, had eaten from this cress. Now, so the owner of the house doesn't realize anything's going on. He wanted to eat from some of that cress. And he did. He wanted to do this, but he dieted the intestine without his wife knowing, maybe some extra cress on the side. He doesn't want his wife to know about for his diet or whatever. He wanted to eat it. Now, no one's stopping. I mean, he's about to eat from the cress. And this adulterer sees he's going to eat from this poisonous cress. So this adulterer, who's right behind this curtain, unbeknownst to the husband, says to the husband, don't eat from it, because a snake had tasted from this. Now, he's like, okay, thank you, but who is this guy? Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, Intase Sharia, the wife is permitted. Why? In Isa Da'abari Surah, if it's true that this adulterer was in a forbidden relationship with this man's wife, Nichilai Delecha Velemis, he would have wanted that this guy should eat and die. The Chesilak says, the Pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, Kini Eifu, because they have committed adultery, Vidam Bidein, and they have blood on their hands. Now, the Ran just points out, he says, according to the opinion of the Ran, says that this didn't need in all these different stories the reasons why we're saying that it's for sure that they didn't commit adultery is not to say that without these reasons then the woman would be forbidden. That's not true, because a woman is only forbidden her husband either when the process of like by saita with kinya and stira, he warns her and then she secludes herself, or with clear testimony from witnesses that something had happened. But without that, the reason why we're saying that we have these reasons why for sure she was not mezana was only because without these other reasons, then, as the Ran calls it, a bal nefesh, someone that's really strict in the areas of spirituality, should be concerned for himself to fulfill the obligation of heaven, and because of the suspicion, should not maintain this relationship. So what we're saying in these stories, that they were saying that, no, Rava said there's nothing to even be concerned about. For sure, she was not mezana, because if this person was a true adulterer, he would have wanted the husband to die, so that he can maintain this relationship that he's having with his wife. As we see that there's blood on their hands, they wouldn't mind the husband dying. To Rosh Hashanah asked Pshita, it's pretty obvious. Of course that the woman's going to be permitted to her husband, because as Rav had explained, it's pretty obvious that he would want him to die. And from the fact that he's trying to save him, that's obvious in and of itself that he wasn't mezana. So what's the chiddush in this halacha? So that the Gemara answers no, though, because Nadu Tema Isura Ovid, maybe we would have thought to say without Rava's halacha, that maybe actually he did have an extramarital affair with this woman. V'haidu Amar Lei, and this that he told to the husband to save his life that and not to die. What do you mean? If he's having an extramarital affair with his wife, why he would want that woman? Why would he want to maintain the husband? The reason being is because Denichele de Leile Mispal. He prefers the husband not to die. Why? That his wife should be to this adulterer, to this nayev, as it says in Pasuk in Mishlei, Mayim ginuv mim taku. The sweet, the stolen waters are sweet. The lechem sesarim yinam, and the hidden bread is tasty. Where actually, as the Tesis brings from the Gemara Sanhedrin, that the taste of bia, of intercourse, was taken from regular people, and it was given to the sinners. The sinners are the ones that are in getting that pleasure because it's stolen. So actually, maybe we could say that he would want to have the husband stay alive only because then it's actually more pleasurable. Because actually, if the husband dies and now he could have the woman, it's actually not going to be pleasurable. It's only the stolen waters that's making it gishmak, that's making it sweet for him, that he's having his adulterous relationship. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of Rava, that no, that because the Nayev, he doesn't realize this, but he doesn't know the adulterer, that it's only enjoyable now because it's forbidden, and that's what makes it sweet. And therefore, he thinks that, no, it's this woman, and he wants the husband to die so that he can go and marry her. Actually, once that's going to happen, it's actually going to be down from there. It's not going to be enjoyable, but he doesn't know that. And that's why we would have thought to say that he would want it to be like that. And I was saying that, no, if he really was having an adulterous relationship, he would have wanted him to die because he doesn't realize that's what's making it sweet. And therefore, if he's trying to save him, it's obviously because he wasn't mezana, and that's why the woman is going to be permitted to her husband. Hanulach v'ilm nadarm, we shall return to the 11th parak of Masechet Nedarim, parak v'ilm nadarm, the slikla Masechet Nedarim, Erev Baruch Hashem completed and concluded the Masechta of Nedarim.